Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.byteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my special guest is Ronnie Lambrecht, and we're going to be talking about her books, Parenting at Your Best. Ronnie was just a typical wife and mom from Castle Rock, Colorado, working long hours to make ends meet when her entire world changed in a split second. Her beautiful son, Dalton, left for heaven just after Christmas in 2013 due to injuries from an ATV versus sand rail accident. Her son, Dalton, lived his short life creating smiles, laughter, and happiness by sharing his kind spirit and helping others through tough times. Ronnie and her husband, John, now continue his legacy by practicing random acts of kindness in Dalton's memory each day. They also help other parents live in the moment with their own children by sharing their truths about regret and finding beauty in everyday chaos of family life. You can find out more by visiting her website, which is parentingatyourbestwithoutregrets.com, and I do have a direct link to that website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Ronnie to the show. Good day, Ronnie.
Well, hi, Robert. Thanks for having me.
It is my pleasure. And before we go in and talk about the book and everything that's happened since the accident, can you tell us just a little bit more about Dalton and his story? I mean, I just kind of mentioned smiles, but I don't think that does it justice. Can you tell us a little bit more about him?
Yeah, absolutely. But you mean him alive before the accident? Is that what you mean?
Or sure.
The accident in general?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
He was 15 when he passed away, and in his life before that, he was your typical teenage boy and loved video games, and he loved riding his four-wheeler and loved being outside and hanging out with his buddies, but he also loved being in front of the TV and playing video games and playing Minecraft and all the crazy games that these kids play these days. But he was also a really good friend to his friends. I don't know really how best to explain that, but he was someone who could listen and his friends told him everything. And in fact, at his service, six different friends actually got up and said that the reason that they were still alive and still standing there was because of Dalton, because they had actually planned on committing suicide. And because he had stopped and taken the time and listened to them and helped talk them, you know, down from their, they were going to do, they were still here. So, and those are kind of stories we've heard, you know, many of those kind of stories since he's been gone, and things that we never even knew about. So, you know, when you think you know everything about your kids, there are definitely some things that you don't. And in our case, we're very lucky that they're really good things.
Yes, I was going to say, you know, you hit the jackpot that with that one, that's for sure.
Exactly. Yeah, because you could find out later, you know, all kinds of terrible things. But yeah, we've been very lucky.
Right. Well, that's good. So now, tell us a little about, you know, you've written this book. Now, is this something that, have you always been a writer, or was this something that came up? How did this come about?
Well, let's see. I've loved to write my entire life. I've always written short stories and poetry and that kind of a thing. And I always thought I wanted to write a book, but I always thought it would probably be a fiction, kind of a romance novel or something. I never thought it would be kind of a self-help nonfiction. And then it turned into three books. So, but this book in general came about because it was, we've seen, you know, obviously we've seen a lot in our experience here after losing Dalton. And one of the things that we've gone through is that my husband has gone through, and he's still going through, a ton of regrets. The, you know, the questioning, and you do this with anyone that you love when you've lost them, and where you just feel like, God, I could have done more, or I could have been a better dad, I could have been a better mom, I could have been better. And in my husband John's case, he really kicked well with him, but you did a million other things with him. So, you know, yeah. Just working through those regrets. And so what my husband wanted to do was, because I'm kind of his speaker for him, he doesn't like talk to a lot of people in public or anything, but one of his things was, I just wish that there was a way we could get out to parents all of what my regrets were, so that we can help them not have regrets while they're parenting, how they can really just jump in full force and really focus on the time that they have and how lucky they are to still have their kids and really focus on that. And then the other thing that we've really noticed as well is how many times, and you'll notice this now that I've told you, when you go out to dinner or something and you look over and you'll see a family of four and either mom and dad are on their phones and the kids are just sitting there, or all four of them are sitting there on their phones and nobody's communicating or paying attention to each other. And we really wanted to just get the message out that, you know, time is finite, and you really do need to explore the opportunities that you have right now with your kids and everyone else you love in your life. Just really explore those opportunities and make sure that you're using your time to its fullest potential.
Yeah, that's great. You know, I when it comes to the using the cell phones and that kind of thing, I remember just clearly one of the, I was in Hawaii on a trip, and I was coming back and in the airport, and there was just that. There was all four, you know, father, mother, and two kids, all of them on their own, you know, devices. And I was thinking to myself, you know, here we are in Hawaii, you know.
Exactly.
What are they doing?
You're supposed to be enjoying your family.
Yes, I thought, you know, and to me that was, it just said so much, you know. Now, it was interesting that the daughter interacted with the father, I mean, with whatever the daughter was doing. So, I mean, they did have some interaction, but, I mean, it was about the device and what was on the device, not about, you know, what was happening, you know, with them right now, where they were at.
Exactly. And there's so much of that in life now. I mean, we all get wrapped up in that with everything is just so overwhelming right now. When we get so wrapped up in what we're doing and trying to accomplish the goal or the next step or the next thing, and we forget who we're kind of walking on and over and around in our daily goings, and we need to stop and notice those people in our life.
Exactly. So now you mentioned that your husband John wants you to kind of communicate the idea of the no regret. Can you talk a little bit about just what some of those, a couple of those regrets are, just, you know, just to have an idea of, and I'm sure these are things that probably everyone experiences, but maybe bring them to mind.
Exactly. absolutely. You know, I think one of the things, and in our life, John and I have both always worked long hours and we've both worked multiple jobs. But one of the things was that I was kind of always around for everything because I'm self-employed and always have been. So I was around for everything Dalton needed. I got to volunteer at school and I went to all of his parties and, you know, I did all that and the running the kids around and, oh, they want to go to the mall or they want to go to the movies or whatever. And I was the one that did all those kind of things, where John was at work during the day or had to work late or something and didn't get to do those things, where I could, because I was self-employed, I could come home and I could work at 2 or 3 in the morning when nobody else was working to get my work done. Does that make sense? And so I got to do all the things with Dalton that that a lot of stay-at-home parents would have been able to do. But I also then could come, you know, I could put him to bed at 9 o'clock at night, and I could come down and work until 3 or 4 in the morning and go get 2 hours sleep and get back up again and do it all over again. Where my husband, you know, had a very specific time frame. He had a boss who told him when he had to be there. And, you know, and when you're working construction, mm-hmm. you have to be there at 7 a.m. and, you know, you have all day, you have to be there and stuff, and you have to work until the job is done, whether that means your family had something planned or not. So there were a lot of things that John missed and and things that I got to do that he didn't. So while in everyone's life, you know, that could easily be the same kind of a thing, it's about using the time that you have when you do have it. And so in John's case, when he came home, say, and he had time on the weekends, he was then out working on the yard and working in the garage and changing oil in the vehicles and doing the things that guys do mm-hmm. in the garage. And but then he wasn't asking Dalton to go out there and be with him and help him and learn how to do those things, because he thought it would take him much longer to do those things. And so one of the things he would tell you is he would wish that if you have a child, a boy or a girl, and you're out working in the garage, bring them out there with you. Teach them how to change the oil at a young age, and teach them how to change tires and how to mow the lawn and how to pull weeds and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But spend time with them and teach them how to do it. And don't be so worried about it taking too much of your time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. You know, I mean, that, you know, in that particular case, you know, the regret would have been not spending as much, you know, time together, you know, recognizing that there were times that could have happened, you
exactly.
know, and yeah.
That you kind of,
you know,
gave
and,
away.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, but, you know, but you, like you say, I mean, it's probably just and most families would fall into that naturally. I mean, you know, if you're a stay at home, you're going to be able to be around to be able to do, you know, certain things, you know, versus if you have a 9-to-5 clock in, clock out kind of situation. So, but I think, you know, the point is well taken is to really just spend time together. I mean, I guess basically.
Yes, exactly. But again, just take advantage of the small moments, and it's really the little things. I know, like, Dalton and I used to, we would do the dishes together, and we would make dinner together. And while we were making dinner, we would dance around the kitchen, or, you know, I would teach him how to two-step. Or when we got vegetables from the farm every Tuesday, and so then we would spend all kinds of time in the kitchen cleaning those vegetables, and then Dalton would be looking up on the internet what exactly that vegetable was and what kind of things we could cook with it and what kind of dinners we could make or whatever. And so it was more really high level interaction and using the very small moments to get to know each other and to be there for each other. When in John's case, he was more, well, I have to get this done because I only have so much time to do it, and I shouldn't be wasting my time trying to teach my kid how to do it because I only have a finite amount of time to get this done before I'm
right.
going to have to go back to work
right.
on Monday. Where and
yeah.
and so he would change that now, and he would have taken the time. And so if we could just kind of teach parents to, you know, teach your kids how to do laundry with you and teach them how to do all the little things that you do around the house and go on your errands with you and make them put phones away when they're in the car and sing together and just really cherish the little tiny things that you do and don't always worry about, you know, planning a big trip to Hawaii or a big trip to Disney World or that kind of a thing, because
yeah.
that trip may be way down the line and you've got all these days in between that are so important, that are so many ways you can make an impact on your child and them make an impact on you.
Yeah, and even if they moan and groan about it, right?
Exactly, and they do a lot. They do a lot. I remember Dalton saying, we have to do laundry again, but we always made it, it always ended up being fun once we got
right.
into it, and we were throwing socks at each other or, you know, those kind of things. But getting him to actually do laundry, you know, fold the laundry with me
right.
was always like, oh, my God, Mom, really? We have to do that?
Yeah.
But it did always end up being a fun thing, and it's something that I really miss today.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad we
yeah.
had this opportunity.
Yeah, you know, that, and that's the key. The key is really kind of making those memorable moments, and you know, and keeping in mind that, you know, the time that we have here, you just don't know. I mean, here today, you know, gone the next minute. So, I mean, it's really important to make the most out of each moment.
Yes, absolutely, and that's not just with your kids. That's with everyone that you love. You know, your spouse,
yeah.
your siblings, your parents, your neighbors, anybody that's in your life who you absolutely adore and you want to spend time with, make the effort and do it and make it count. Don't be on your phones and, you know, and wasting that time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So now, why did you decide to put together, you know, the story and what you're doing as a parenting book?
Well, we thought that because I could have taken everything that we've learned in this process and I could have easily, and I still could easily write a book about grief. But I felt like there are so many books out there on grief, and I felt like that when people go through something like what we're going through, losing our only child, we could get caught in the maze of living in the darkness all the time. So living in the grief,
mm-hmm.
and focusing on the grief. And I wanted to take what we've learned and turn it around and make something positive out of it. And so in lieu of writing a grief book, which again, I could still do, but I really wanted to just make what we've learned mean something, I guess. I wanted to help parents who
mm-hmm.
are still lucky enough to have their kids make that time mean something for them and help them create memories. And so I just wanted to use what we've learned and just do
mm-hmm.
something better with it.
Well,
so
I understand. Yep. I understand, you know, and what you're doing is being just real proactive, you know, in being, hopefully, you know, an inspiration or kind of giving ideas to parents right now, you know. In a grief book would be a reactive, you know, kind of case,
yes.
where, you know, where you're reacting to it. So, yeah. So, I mean, that makes perfect sense. So,
exactly.
Now,
yeah, and there's
the
never
book,
been a parenting
really,
book written from this.
Yeah.
Written
yeah,
from this,
you know,
point of view.
And
there's never been.
And, yeah, I was going to say, you know, and there's been a lot of experience, you know, a lot of cases where, you know, that's the case. I mean, just look right now on TV with, you know, mass shootings. I mean, it's just,
exactly.
you know, parents are going to be going through that.
Yeah.
So, now with your book, you basically created three different books or three different titles. Can we go through each of them and tell us what's contained in each of them? So the first one would be
absolutely.
Parenting at Your Best, Powerful Reflections and Straightforward Tips for Becoming a Mindful Parent. So what's that? Is that like
so
the main
there,
book?
That's my main book. That's the big one. And I've got 30 chapters in there that are just simple guides that you can, of things that you can do with your kids and different moments and different experiences that we had with our son. And what I did in each chapter is I tried to start each chapter with a story of something we went through. And then I tried to end the chapter with a tip or many tips as to what we think we did
mm-hmm.
right, what we think we could have done better, what we think if in a perfect world, we would appreciate it if you would handle it, you know, this way with your kids, because we screwed up, you know, or we did this wrong or that kind of a thing. So I try and make it really simple stuff. And then I also have worksheets on my website and stuff. So because there's so many tips in there, this is something parents can use for years and years and years and refer back to it. So I have a worksheet on my website that kind of reminds parents, you know, pick two things out right now that you think you really want to focus on, and then come back in a few months and do two more things you want to focus on. Because there's so much information in there.
Yeah. Now to put that together and identify like what you did right or what could have been better, I mean, that really involves some critical analysis of your parenting. I mean, that has to have been. I'm serious. I don't know how many parents would do that. Would really sit down and actually, honestly, you know, kind of go through that process. And I have to give you kudos for doing that and
well, thank you.
Putting it in print.
Exactly. Yeah, I was really dumb when I did this, but please forgive me. I want you to do it better.
I know. But quite honestly, I think, you know, those areas where, you know, could have been done better, there are going to be a lot of people who will, you know, think of the same thing, you know, that they have done the same thing. But if you did, you know, you present it in a very non-judgmental way, it's just, this is the way it is, this is what you can do better, then
yes.
I think parents are going to be more honest with themselves.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. So now in the book it says being a mindful parent. So in your view, what are the characteristics of a more mindful parent?
Well, kind of like we talked about with our phones, putting our phones down and being in the moment with our kids. And while that's not always possible in every business, I'm a realtor, so I know that, you know, sometimes deals are happening at 11 o'clock at night or whatever, and during dinner time and all that kind of stuff. And I get that, but when you do have the opportunity to make the moments matter, then actually take them, shut your phone off, put it away, you know, put it in the other room, and really focus on your family and the people around you. I think that's a huge tip. And there's so many things. You know, one of the biggest things, my very first chapter in the book talks about writing, teaching your kids how to write as well as you writing to your kids, and it's called Write Your Way Into My Heart. And there's so much to be said for teaching your child how to communicate in writing and communicating to them by writing to them, but also teaching them how to write back, because someday they're going to be a husband or a wife or a father or a mother, and they need to be able to communicate their feelings to their loved ones as well. And so something that I did right with Dalton, actually, is that from a very young age, I made sure that he wrote thank you cards and that he wrote birthday cards and that he did thank yous after birthdays and Christmas, and that when it was grandma's birthday or grandpa's birthday or Christmas for them, he was writing them actual cards instead of, you know, just picking one up off of a shelf. And there are some funny ones. My parents actually, even before Dalton died, my parents have an entire wall in their house of all the cards that Dalton wrote to them, because they thought it was so cool that he always wrote and drew pictures and that kind of stuff. But one of the funny ones was, and I don't remember how old Dalton was, but he says to my dad, "It's a pleasure being your grandson." And it was just a funny thing, but it's something we all laughed at, and we just thought it was the funniest thing. And so when Dalton passed away, one of the things my dad wrote to Dalton was, "It was a pleasure being your grandfather." And everybody thought that was so weird, but they didn't know the backstory behind that. But there's just so many of those little things that you can write down and share and journal about, and so that you don't forget those memories. And it's just really important to have those kind of things. So going back to the mindfulness, just being in the moment and really enjoying whatever it is that you're doing, not just being with your kids, not just being with your family, but if you're going to be at work, you know what, then be at work and be focused on your work and do a good job while you're there. But then when you go home, shut that off,
right,
and be a mom, be a dad, be whoever you are, be that person, and really be mindful of being that person and being in the moment and not, as an example, I went and got my nails done, and the lady, the whole time she's doing my nails, is checking her phone, and then she's singing, she's nicking my fingers and I'm bleeding, and I'm like,
oh, no.
And it's, it's all these goofy little things that if she just wasn't on her phone
right.
and she was paying attention to me, she would be, first of all, building a relationship that I'm more important than
right.
her phone is. But secondly, she wouldn't be making me bleed. And while that sounds gross and kind of dumb, we're doing the same thing to our families when we walk in at night and we're watching, a bunch of TV, or we're, doing other things and we're not paying attention to our families. We're making their hearts bleed, not realizing it
yeah.
because it's not a physical, visual thing. And so we
yeah.
really do just
yeah.
need to take the time to be there.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I agree. I agree with that. And so now, in addition to the book, you have the two journaling, since you're talking about writing, the two journaling books, The Parent's Guide for Journaling to Their Child and then The Parent's Journal to Their Child. Can you talk a little bit about that? I mean, because, obviously, this is something that you did with Dalton, I mean, as far as the writing. So talk a little bit about it, because the subtitle is Simple Strategies for Writing Heartfelt Love Letters to Your Child. So, I mean,
yes.
to me that sounds like a wonderful thing to have as for a child as they grow up.
Absolutely. So in our case, it's kind of funny, 4 months before Dalton was even born, I started writing a journal to him. And then over the years, I would just write, different things in it, funny things that had happened, funny things he said, things I didn't want to forget, moments that happened and I didn't, wanted to remember them forever. And the weird, really weird thing is that when he died, I actually had the journal with us on that vacation. And I don't know why, because I typically didn't take it out of the house, but I had it with us. And I credit that journal with saving our marriage. And the reason being is that I've obviously written in that, had at that point I had written in the journal for 15 years. And in writing in it, the first 11 pages of that journal that I wrote to Dalton when I very first got it were all about my husband and how he was going to be such a great daddy and how we met and how much I loved him and how much I felt like he loved me and why we were looking forward to having a baby and all these things. And it was funny because the day after Dalton passed away, when my parents came out to California to help us with everything and getting him home and all that kind of stuff, my parents had flown out to help us, and because we were on vacation when it happened, and Mom came into our camper and she showered us and got us dressed and kicked us out of the camper. She told us we had to go out in the nice, outside weather and the sunshine, and we had to take a walk. And as we left the camper, I don't know why, but I grabbed Dalton's journal as I was leaving the camper.
Mm-hmm.
And we went out and we were walking. We went for a long walk and then we sat down for a little while and John and I started reading my journal, and John came over and said, "Well, tell me what your journal says." And I said, "No, I'm not going to tell you. It was for Dalton." And
mm-hmm.
he said, "No, I want you to read what's in." And he kept pushing me. And I was really mad at him. I thought, this is my writing to Dalton. And I was pretty upset. But anyway,
right.
for some reason I said, "Okay, fine." And I started reading it to him. And it was all about, again, how much I loved him and how I thought he was going to be such a great daddy and all these things. And John says, "I had no idea you felt that way." And I'm thinking, 20 years of marriage and you didn't know I felt that way? Are you a lunatic?
Wow.
I write you love
wow.
letters all
mm-hmm.
the time and give you cards. And I tell you every day how much I love you. And he says, "Yeah, but I never heard you tell anybody else that before." And that was really poignant for us, that that was just a moment for us that was like, wow, this is something we really need to work on and we need to communicate. I need to do a different way of communicating something. But it was really interesting because John said, "Well, I've never heard, you tell me that all the time, but I've never heard you tell someone else that." And I thought, wow, that is just really, really weird. So that's why I kind of credit the journal for saving our marriage.
Yeah.
And then taking that and going into my book, A Parent's Guide for Journaling to Their Child, there's been, since we've lost Dalton, there's been so many parents that have said to us, "What can we do to help you? Is there anything that we can do to make this better for you? Whatever." And there's nothing anybody can do for us to make this better. And so we've turned it around and said, "You know what? Just write love letters to your kids. Go get them a journal, write to them. teach them how to write you back, and that kind of thing. And so many parents have said to us, if I wanted to write my kid a letter, I wouldn't even know what to say. And so that's how this book came about, because I felt like, well, maybe we need to get some prompts out there that people can, you know, write to their kids and that kind of a thing. And it's also, it's just this awesome, tangible thing that you have that you wouldn't otherwise have. So when, you know, if someone passes away, like, you know, like we lost Dalton, I have some amazing cards that my son wrote to me. There's one where he tells me that I am the eighth wonder of the world to him. and it just means so much to me. And someday soon that's going to be tattooed on my arm. But it's just so important to have those, you know, we tell everybody we love them every day, but we don't often write it down. And to have that little tangible thing for your kid to have if something were to happen to you or vice versa, it's a big deal to have something.
Yeah. And, you know,
from experience, I know that.
Yeah, you know, and that's, you know, that's key. And you know, that's the one thing, first of all, you know, about when cutting it with saving your marriage, you know, that is, that's the first thing that takes the biggest hit when something like that happens is a marriage, you know, because there's a lot of, so many different emotions, you know, swirling around, you know, like both parents, you know, when it comes to that. So, you know, it can become, I mean, I've heard time and time again how the death of a child has kind of just spurred the, you know, the ending of marriages. And then it's, you know,
absolutely.
It's sad that, that it gets to that
disgusting.
Point.
Yeah, the statistics are, I think someone told us almost right away that 92% of marriages where they've lost their only child are ended within the first year, and it's something like 70% after that or something. And I don't know why somebody would tell us that right after we lost our child, but but somebody did, and
really?
We always kept that in our heads, like, we're not going to be a statistic.
Wow, there you go. Yeah, that person really needed maybe wait a little bit before going into
that. Exactly, like, this is really not what I need to be hearing right now. But.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe put
absolutely.
That in the book. Do not ask or do not offer statistics if this happens.
Exactly.
really. So you know, and that's a great thing. You know, and you're right that you know, having a guide, you know, for parents is just really important. And you know, because you know, the love that, you know, even if you say it, you know, on a daily basis, sometimes it doesn't get through to the heart level as much as, you know, as being in writing and something that, So I could see where that would be real important. Ronnie, I want to take just a quick break. We're just a little past halfway through the show, because I do want to invite callers that if they have any questions, they can call in and ask you some questions. The number to call in is 619-789-4359. And for people listening live in the chat room, if there's any questions, feel free to post them there. And then when we come back, Ronnie, maybe you can tell us what are maybe the top three tips that you're going to hope parents will learn from reading Parenting at your Best. Okay?
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, great. Everyone, stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break. Sorry about this delay here.
Oh, no worries.
My studio decided I'm going to go ahead and throw a wrench into this. It's slow. Okay, everyone, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link that will give you access to more than 1,200 shows we have had over the past 7 years. Also on the site are links to the products and services we provide, books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store. Our show is available as a free podcast on iTunes, and you can subscribe for free at the iTunes Store, or even quicker, there is a link on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, etc., and we also have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. Our website, www.biteradio.me, has much for you to explore and enjoy. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show. Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. Again, today my very special guest is Ronnie Lambrecht, and we're talking about her new book series, Parenting at Your Best, Powerful Reflections and Straightforward Tips. And again, you can find out more by visiting her website, which is parentingatyourbestwithoutregrets.com. And again, there is a direct link to that website in the show page description. Okay, so with that, we're back, Ronnie.
Hi.
Hey. Okay, so if you can maybe identify just a few tips that you hope parents are going to learn from reading and enacting, you know, Parenting at Your Best.
Perfect. Let's see here. Well, first, I think we've talked about this a little bit. I would hope that they can just kind of stop amongst all the daily chaos and just really appreciate the beauty around them. There's, you know, like when your kid smiles at you or they make a joke or they hug you. Oh, I miss that the most. I totally miss that the most. Their artwork on the fridge, stop and look at their artwork. Like, you know, they bring it home from school and you pop it there on the fridge with a magnet, but do you really ever stop and take a moment to really look at it and go, I wonder why they put that there, or what does that mean? Or have them explain their artwork to you. Just really focusing on stuff. There's doing the chores together. Like I talked about, making dinner, folding the laundry, changing the oil, you know, mowing the lawn, all that kind of stuff, pushing snow. Just really realizing that it's not about waiting for a humongous vacation to somewhere or a big family wedding or a big, you know, get together to make memories, but rather really just enjoying every little day or little everyday moment kind of things where you can really make memories and little traditions that you do every day. You know, maybe after school every day you come home and they have cookies and milk. Maybe they come home and they sit down and they do their homework right away and you sit down and talk to them about their day. And maybe it's at night and everybody's in chaos because they've been gone all day and you've been working all day. They've been at school all day, you know. But at least you'd stop and you take 5 or 10 minutes just to really stop and focus on each other. So that would be tip one. And secondly, I would hope that they begin writing to their kids and teaching their kids how to draw or how to write thank you cards and birthday cards and other, you know, important sentiments that they could write. Just knowing that they'll be adults one day and they need to know how to communicate their feelings. And then thirdly, I would hope that they really think about how they speak to their children on a daily basis and how they speak and act toward others when their children are watching or listening, you know, while they're doing something. So as an example, always, and I know I'm a female and somebody in the olden days might not like this, but I always stop and open the door for people. So instead of me walking in the door ahead of them, I always stop and open the door and I'll let people walk in ahead of me. And I always say please and thank you. And I just always really use my manners. My mom would kick my butt otherwise. But so in lieu of like just teaching Dalton, you know, you always need to say please and thank you. And you should always open the door for somebody or you should, all, you know, do this or that. Instead of just telling him those things, I always showed him that I do that too. So I'm not expecting him to do something different than what I'm willing to do. So am I willing to clean a toilet? okay, if I am, you should be willing to clean a toilet too. You know, so all those little things. But so first of all, watching how you speak to them, there's a whole chapter in the book about how I used to yell a lot at Dalton. I just couldn't get my point across unless I was yelling at him, and I thought he wouldn't hear it unless I was yelling, when in all reality he wasn't listening to me anyway because I was yelling. But if I stopped and listened to what I was saying and why was I saying that and why was I yelling at him, I was just really focusing on what I was saying and how I was saying it to him. It took me until he was about 7 or 8 years old before I really figured out you don't have to yell at him when you ask him to take out the trash. You know, you nicely say it would be really nice right now if you could take out the trash. And,
right.
You know, if I said it that way, then boy, he might moan once, but if I said, hey dude, come on, it's just taking out the trash. It's going to take you 20 seconds. You know, he'd run out, you know, and he would do it. But if I was like, I can't believe you didn't empty the trash. Oh my God, you know, why didn't you empty the trash or whatever? Then he'd be mad at me. He'd be pissed off and he'd want to be mad at me and fight with me about it. So just really focusing on how we speak to our kids and then also what we're doing in front of them that we see. So if we're out in a restaurant and we're whining about how terrible the waiter or the waitress is and we don't tip them very well and we're not realizing that, hey, they might have had a really bad day too and you know, maybe we're just getting kind of the brunt of it, but you still tip them good and you still talk to them and you're still very nice and thankful and that kind of a thing. If your kids can watch you do that, then they can be better people on their own when you're not there to watch what they're doing. So
I think those would be
the top three things.
Yeah. Well, those are really basic. I mean, it doesn't take anything other than
it's not rocket science.
You know, just, it's very easy. It doesn't take any money to do it. You know, it doesn't take any resources other than yourselves to be able to do it. And I mean, I have to admit, you know, if your mom comes at you with a real nice "Hey, dude," versus yelling at you, I mean, "Hey, dude" is gonna get you to get up and take out the trash. I mean,
exactly.
You know, so employ some of that. You know, that will certainly help. But you know, regarding to, you know, speaking to your children and modeling that behavior, that's the one thing that I have had so many people talk to me about, the fact that some of their parents' words, their negative words, cut through them to the point where years later, I mean, even dozens of years later, those words still, you know, reign high. And
yes.
I just don't think parents really recognize just how important the words that they speak are.
Yes, exactly. And their actions, you know, like you were talking about, the modeling. Yeah.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah.
Well, so now I understand that, and I looked on the website, and it looks like your series has gotten a little bit of an award there.
Oh, yeah. yeah, that's funny that you ask. I got this award just a couple of weeks ago. It's called the Mom's Choice Gold Award. And when I got it, I didn't think it was such a big deal, but apparently it's a way bigger deal than I thought.
It is. I've had a couple people with that, and they're very proud of that. That's an accolade, a real accolade. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm really excited. This group called the Mom's Choice Awards, they go through this totally rigorous process of kind of grading your stuff. And then after they grade it, so five people do that. And then it goes to their board of directors and then they go through it. And, anyway, so I guess it's a pretty big deal. So I'm actually really proud of that one. Thanks for asking about it.
Yeah. Well, you should be, because again, I mean, I know very much, a lot of people who have tried and not achieved that particular accolade, you know, so it is a great thing. Also, you have a Pay It Forward program. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. Actually, when Dalton passed away, we had bracelets made for all the kids that came that say Dalton's name on one side, and then on the other side they say pay it forward. And then after the services and everything, we had this a friend of mine actually from high school. It was really cool. She was in a Starbucks drive-thru, and she just wrote on a napkin, please pay it forward in loving memory of Dalton Lambrecht. And then she gave that napkin back to the clerk and paid for the guy's coffee behind her. And then she just sent me a picture of the napkin. And so I was like, oh, that would be a really cool thing to do, because it was so Dalton. Dalton was so that way. Our favorite movie is Pay It Forward. And we were always doing things for people when we were, you know, we'd like go out to dinner and buy somebody's dinner or that kind of thing. And so Dalton always saw us do that. And so he would do things for his friends at school and just cool things like that. And we thought, oh, that would be really fun for the kids to get involved with. And, you know, that would help them in their grieving process too. And so we did little business cards, and there's copies of them in my book, but we did these little, they're like business card size. And it just, it asks people to do something really nice for someone else in Dalton's memory, and then to give that person another card, asking them to take that card and pay it forward and do the same thing, so that you have a domino effect of doing random acts of kindness for people. And it was really cool because Dalton's school, actually 2 years in a row, they ran a big Pay It Forward program in April, which is considered Pay It Forward Month. And Pay It Forward Day is April 24th, which is the day before Dalton's birthday. So anyway, his school got us involved. And so we would go into the school and we talked about doing performing random acts of kindness to these kids. And they actually, the first year, it was so cool because they kept a map of where their acts had landed. So, and one girl had given her, yeah, it was really cool. And one girl had given her dad a card, and he was a pilot. And so from Denver that day, he ended up in Chicago, and then he did something nice for someone in Chicago who then ended up in another state. And in one day they got to see how it could travel around so many states. And so they kept a board, and it's so sad because they took the board down before they took a picture of it for me. But it was really cool because the kids kept track of where their random acts of kindness had gone. And it actually had gone that year when they did it that month of the Pay It Forward month, it had gone all the way to Iraq. And I'm assuming, you know, people giving, what do they call those? The gift boxes for soldiers. Care packages. Yeah. And I'm sure that's how it had gotten over there and to Afghanistan and that kind of stuff. But it was really cool how these kids could see how they could do one small thing and how it could impact the life of someone so far away.
Right.
In that domino effect of the Pay It Forward. So that was really cool. And then since then, we've had over 3,500 Pay It Forward cards printed and given out. So they've reached 30 other cities around the U.S. that we've been told about, and also I think it's 7 countries that they've gone to. So it's really cool to see that, you know, we lost our son and we've gone through this horrendous grief and everything that we're going through that I don't show you here on the radio. But on the flip side of that, we can see that something in his memory turned out beautiful.
Right, so. Right. You know, and you know, that's the that's what makes Dalton live on. You know, in a way,
yes.
is by having that. You know, and it becomes more than just a memory or a sad memory. It becomes something joyful. You know, I mean,
yes.
Going on afterwards. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So, and it's fun.
Yeah.
We also did this with the books. We did. With my books, if a school wanted to purchase them, we would sell them to the school for basically cost. It's 40%, and then the school can sell those books to families or whoever they sell them to, and they can make a 60% profit.
Fundraisers.
We've been doing
we've
been doing all kinds of fundraisers for schools and churches and other kinds of nonprofits, like, you know, baseball teams, football teams, you know. Peewee leagues, all that kind of stuff. So anyway, so we've really tried to, you know, kind of bring this full circle and make it something
mm-hmm.
that will help others for a very, very long time.
I agree. That's wonderful. Now, also, on your website, you offer other resources?
Oh, yeah. There's tons of resources on there, different links to different things you can, you know, just view if you're having problems with your kids and have some questions, or if you, you know, all the way down to cool things to do for kids' birthday parties. There's all kinds of resources on there, as well as if you wanted to start a book club, there's discussion guides, there's, gosh, there's just all kinds of stuff on the website. And I'm adding to it literally every single day. I add stuff to it, so, yeah.
Great. Yeah, I noticed that, and, you know, particularly with the book clubs and worksheets, again, and you also offer an excerpt of the book so people can kind of get a peek at the book as well, so. That's great. So now, if people are going to be, you know, you're in Colorado, correct? So are you? Do you have any appearances scheduled sometime in the upper near future? Anywhere, really?
You know, I don't right now. I've got the Hallmark stores here in Colorado have started bringing my books into the stores kind of one at a time. And so every now and then when they do that, they have me come in and do kind of a book signing for them. And yeah, so I don't have anything specifically set up right now, but as I do, I definitely add those to the website. So, yeah.
Okay,
and if somebody
great.
Orders a book off of my website, mm-hmm. they can ask me to sign it, in, you know, specific. Maybe it's for a baby gift or, you know, anything, or they just want it signed. Not that my signature means a whole heck of a lot, but but I definitely am totally into personalizing the books when I send them out from here. When they, you know, when they're ordered on Amazon, I can't do that. But if you order them directly from
my
website,
right.
I can absolutely personalize them. So, yeah.
Well, that's good. And I mean, excuse me, I know that, you know, when I first got my book out, I had the same thing. Oh, you don't want me to sign it. Why do you want me to sign it? It's like, well, you're the author, you know. So. That's a big deal.
I'm like, no, I'm not famous.
Okay.
I'm
it's okay. It's right. That's right. If you really want it. No, so,
That's right.
Yeah. Well, oh, Ronnie, cool. this has really been a joy to speak with you today about your series, about Dalton and your stories. I really appreciate you sharing that with us.
Absolutely. And I'm looking forward to reading your book, too.
Okay, great. I'll sign it for you.
That's right. So tell me about yours. What's yours about?
Oh, the first one I did, it was called Joy Potential, Where You Least Expect It. It really kind of follows a lot of what you talk about. I mean, basically finding joy in everyday life. You know, there's a part in there that the ripple effect of you know, doing something for someone and having it come back to you in a very obscure way, you know. And recognizing how that happens. And basically, you know, just recognize that no matter who you are, what you do, you can make a difference, and you can have experience joy by doing that.
Yes, absolutely.
So that was it.
And you said
that was
your first book. You have another one too.
Yeah, I have another one called "It's No Secret: Spirituality Bites." And you know, BITE is the acronym. BITE is the acronym for bringing inspiration to Earth. So it was really just some of the things that I had learned from many of the guests, and you know, the insights that I learned from them, and then different actions that I took to make my life better. So that, you know, just things I learned, and things that I do to make my life better, and things that anybody can do to make their life better. So.
Cool. So, we're definitely on the same page, aren't we? That's cool.
Yes, we are, very much. And, but I don't have that parenting expertise, so I have to defer completely to you. Well, this has been a joy. Now, you are on social media as well?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Facebook, it's under Ronnie, R-O-N-I, Wing, like a bird, W-I-N-G, Lambrecht. Lambrecht. And I'm on, you know, all the social media, the LinkedIn's and all those kind of things. And then
Great.
You can find me on my, if you just go to my website, you can find
Great.
Anywhere on that.
Well, I'll be sure to make sure that we're connected on all of those so I can follow your journey as well and see what comes next. Maybe that novel will be the next thing. So.
That's right. Well, thank you so much, Robert. What an honor to be on with you today.
Thank you, Ronnie. It's really, truly been my pleasure. So, again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Ronnie Lambrecht. We've been talking about her book series, Parenting at Your Best, Powerful Reflections and Straightforward Tips. And again, you can find out more about the books, the worksheets, the excerpt, just so many things that you can find links to resources on her website, which is parentingatyourbestwithoutregrets.com. And again, I do have a direct link to that website in the show page description. So, everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again, thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's biteradio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.